morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them.
And I will pray for Rick as he starts to bring us the message. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Rick, Lord, for the spirit that you put within him, the knowledge of your word which he can share with us. And Lord, we thank you for all you've done in his life, but Lord, all the things that the way you use him in this place, we thank you for him. We just pray your blessing upon his words as they come out upon his bones, Lord, as he stands here. We just pray for him at this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Ronnie. What I want to talk about today is something that's sort of been on my mind a little bit lately, and I've talked about it throughout the year, I think, but I realised that I probably haven't actually specifically spoke about it, and it's the place and the characteristics of good works in the Christian's life. You know, many of the messages and the communion thoughts that have been brought to us by myself and others during the year have taught that salvation is achieved by trusting in the death and the resurrection of Jesus and nothing else. You know, our teaching has correctly assigned or asserted that our good works contribute nothing to our salvation. And in several of the messages that I know that I've brought attention to the teaching regarding maturity, and that following our salvation, God's plan is that in fact we grow in maturity. And as Ephesians says in chapter 4, to attain to the full measure of Christ, or in other words, to become more and more like Jesus. However, while the scripture clearly does teach that good works do not earn us salvation or contribute to it in any way, the scripture clearly teaches that good works are important and desirable in a Christian's life. So while I might have talked about the need for maturity, I probably have not specifically talked about the subject of good works. And that's what I want to do today, is to focus on good works and the role, the place of good works in the Christian's life. I'm going to tackle it by trying to answer three questions. I want to come out with answers to three questions, I guess, is what is the place of good works in the Christian life? What are good works actually? And where do good works come from? Where do they arise from? And I'll begin with the last question, because I think if we can answer that one, it actually leads us to answer the first two questions anyway. So, here we go. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And Ben read them to us. And I'll just give a brief summary of them rather than read them again as such. But this is verses 1 to 3. In verses 1 to 3, it describes the state of mankind, fallen and dead because of sin. Very clear. There's no ambiguity there. Then in verses 4 to 7, he describes what God did for us through Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection, to give us life and to point us to the grace. And it says, but God was rich in mercy because of the great love that he had for us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's a very common thing I've heard over my life. By grace we have been saved. And he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. That's what he's done. And then in verse 8 he says, categorically states that we are saved by God's grace. We make no contribution to it. He says salvation is a gift. And then he moves on to verse 9. He says, salvation is not a reward for good works. If it was, then we'd boast about it. You and I could, I guess, if you know human nature, we'd boast about it. But he says, no, it's not. It's not because of our good works. Then we come to verse 10. And I'm really preaching from verse 10 and where it directs us. It's important to understand that verse 10 is a transition verse. It takes us from this, what we just read in verses 1 to 9, and gives us an explanation. It begins the explanation that of why salvation is not a reward for works, and where works fits in the Christian life and what it looks like. In the various translations, they start with the same word, for. And of course the old cliche is, when you see the word for, you've got to try and figure out what it's there for. And it is there for a very good reason, because it's taking us from this place to this place. It's a transition. But I'm going to have to tell you what the reasons are up front, and then I'll go back and we'll explain why. The two reasons are this. We are God's workmanship, that is, not our own. And two, we have, or having been recreated and saved by God, our purpose is to do good works. So that's the order. Save first for good works, not for good works for salvation. It's the other way. We are saved first, and then it's purpose of our saving is for good works. Verse 10, such a wealth of truth and hope, and it gives us the context to understand salvation and works, how they fit together. It directs us to look back. We look back to God's original purpose. What was God's original purpose in creating mankind? And then it directs us to the plan of recreating mankind, to the purpose that he redeemed us. He created us originally. Things went wrong. Sin entered. In this, and then God redeemed us so that we would again fit the purpose for which he saved us, to bring glory to him. You know, in this short verse, there are five clues, I think. There are five things that help us to understand it. Now, I've selected five different translations that I had a look at, and if we look at those translations, they all start off with four, and I've colour-coded there the different parts of it. And if you have a quick look, you can say four, and then we are what he has made us, or in the next translation, we are God's handiwork, we are God's masterpiece, we are his workmanship. And then it says we created in Christ Jesus, NLT says created us anew in Christ Jesus, and the other two created in Christ Jesus. And then the blue says for good works. So they all say for good works, or to do good things. Then in the grey it says which God prepared beforehand or in advance or planned for us long ago, which God prepared beforehand. So we're getting these five different things. And then the last one there in the purple is to be our way of life, or for us to do, one says, or so we can do good things. And finally, in both the NASB and the ESV, it says, so that we would walk in them. So this is what I'm working with as I looked at these to actually try to come to understand clearly what good works is about and how they fit in. So the first one I want to talk about is God's workmanship. The fact is, or the first point I guess to note is that the description of us as redeemed Christians, and it's rendered in those different ways. We are what He has made us, we're God's handiwork, we're God's masterpiece, we're His workmanship. The key point is in the explanation is, of course, that we are the result of God's workmanship. It's interesting, you know, there's no such thing as coincidence. I went out in the veranda this morning to prepare this, to go over the notes again, and as I sat down, dead set on 7 o'clock, I sat down and my phone buzzed, and I looked into my phone just to see what it was, and then I looked up to Fridays, and it says, "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." You know, we are God's workmanship. We're not our own, we're not anybody else's, we're God's workmanship. This restates the truth that salvation that we have is by God's intent and by God's work. And it also adds the idea that what we are now, what you and I are today as Christians, it is what God intends it to be. We are created or recreated for a purpose, that is His purpose. And here's another point, which is interesting as I read around what people had to say about it. God has a particular plan for redeemed Christians' life and service, as He did in the original creation of Adam and Eve. The Greek word used here is the word poema. I think that's how you say it, but that's the way I'm saying it anyway. And it comes, you know, the word we get from it is poem. And there's some poetry in the fact that it's from poem, when you think about it. So there is a sense that the redeemed Christian is a special work of art, a masterpiece, that reflects the Creator's skill, His heart and His purpose. After all, we do bear His image. Adam and Eve were created in God's image, and in verse 10, Paul reminds the Christians that they are a reflection of their Creator. The word poema is only used here in this passage and in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, where Paul actually is describing how creation itself testifies to God's amazing nature. His plan is for us to clearly reflect Him in the way we live. As a poem reflects the author's thoughts and His character, so we are to reflect Him and His purposes. So that's the first point, that in this short passage, this short verse, verse 10, we are what He's made us. We're His workmanship. We reflect Him. Adam and Eve were made perfect, but the sin came, but God redeemed us. And we are to reflect Him again. That's what He redeemed us for, to once again bring glory to Him. So the next part is created anew in Christ Jesus. And the NLT actually renders it created us anew in Christ Jesus. What I understand here is that the masterpiece or the workmanship reflects the original. But because of sin, it was marred. That's why God had to recreate it. Then in Jesus and in His sacrifice on the cross, God has created us anew so that mankind can again fulfill that purpose. I keep saying that. Yeah. It's so important to understand that. We are not the old Adam revamped, you know, just giving the old Adam a charge. No. We are a new creation by God's design, by God's purpose, by His power. We are given new life by Christ, by God's intent, and by His mighty power. The scripture elsewhere tells us that when God raised Christ from the dead, when God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus received new life. And then it also tells us that when we receive Jesus, we receive that new life from Him. The point confirms again for us that our salvation is achieved by God's plan through Jesus, not through our works. There's another thing about us as God's workmanship is that we are not yet finished. We're not yet finished. We're still under construction. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we stand blameless before God. That's what, remember, if you remember back to that first message I preached on Colossians chapter 1, it says we stand blameless because of what Christ did for us. Not because of anything we did, but because of what Christ did. But our nature is still being refined as the new life we have from Christ transforms us under the guidance and under the power of the Holy Spirit. What is happening to us is what theologians call sanctification. It's the work of God. God produces it in us, but we have to work in cooperation with Him so that it happens. Otherwise, we thwart His purposes in our life. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling, meaning that we are to actively participate in living out our life, what God is doing in our heart. Live out in our life what God is doing in our heart, in our nature. Sanctification is that process whereby God imparts His righteousness to us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the next verse tells us how this happens when it says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." God works with both our will and our capacity to become increasingly godly. It is the work of God in us who makes us holy. But we have to cooperate with Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is speaking about the process of Christians maturing in their faith, and he says in chapter 4, verse 13, this maturing process, he says, will continue until we all come to such unity in the faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That is to be more and more and more and more like Jesus every day. Ian tells me he's preparing his next messages on Ephesians chapter 4, so I'll look forward to that, Ian. So keep at it, mate. Yeah. A wonderful passage, a wonderful chapter, that one. So the result of us being renewed, created anew, is that our character and therefore our life more and more reflects the God whose image we bear. This masterpiece of God, us, being transformed, being refined continuously by the work of the Holy Spirit through God's Word, through the circumstances He brings upon us, through godly discipline, you know, the conviction of sin that comes, the conviction, you know, that just tweaks in our mind and says, something's not right here, Rick, have a look, have a think about it again. And by the support and the influence of other Christians that He puts into our lives, whom we can live with and serve with. So that's the second point. Four good works. Again, the sense that here is that the purpose of the masterpiece, the recreated Christian, is for good works. It links back to that verse 9 again, where it says that salvation is not a reward for good works, but is in fact the very reason for salvation. We are redeemed, we are created anew, so that we can do good works. Good works are to flow from the saved, redeemed person. Now, I've got to say this next bit right, otherwise I'll have the theologian upon me to that heresy. And this is it. The Christian, we are to reflect the character of the masterpiece. Okay? Our lives are to reflect the character of the masterpiece, which is us, but but also, or particularly, the one who redeemed the masterpiece, God. God makes us into a masterpiece that reflects his character. So it's sort of, we live as his masterpiece, but that masterpiece reflects the original creator, God himself. And it is he who is perfecting the masterpiece. So this leads us to the next phrase of the sentence, which begs the question, what are good works, or what is the nature of good works? It says there, which God prepared in advance. Now, which good works God prepared in advance. Now, this is a bit of a very busy slide, but I wanted to put it all in there. God's purpose in his original creation, and therefore his renewed creation, that's what's in mind here. God's purpose can be gleaned from various places in the Scripture. And the first one I've got there is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, where it simply says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God made us, he created us for his glory. When sin came, his plan was to redeem us. But it says there in Ephesians chapter 4, 1, verse 4, that he chose us before he even created us in the first place. He chose to redeem us because he knew we were going to sin. And I said before, that's a really difficult thing to get our head around, but it talks to us about the majesty of God and his knowledge and also his love. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely given us in the one he loves. God created us for his glory, then he recreated us through Jesus Christ. God's plan was that mankind should give him glory. So for us who have received salvation, the plan is still that we give him glory. How do we do that? It seems that good works are integral in achieving that purpose. You know, some people suggest that good works may be the specific things that God calls people to, like being a pastor or being a missionary, working with disabled people, underprivileged people. Other ideas tend to describe good works in terms of specific Christian activities or things like that we do, like giving to the poor or offering hospitality or things like that, specific acts, you know, attending church regularly or praying. And, you know, these may well be part of the outflowing of our life. But I do think that they fall far short of what God's got in mind. Because otherwise, you know, if we're not careful, what we can do is say good works are the things that we add to our life. Whereas I think I've come to the, as I understand it, good works are our life. They are to be our life. And I'll just fill this out a little bit. The good works I think God has in mind are far more about the central values and motivations of life and the things that flow out of that. So what are our central values? What motivates us? Out of that flows good works. For example, if we see people as precious, if we see them as valuable to God and to us, we will look to build people up and care for people. This would be revealed in how we speak to people, what we do for people, how we encourage people. Actually, I suspect it might be closer to the mark to speak about who we are rather than what we do. Who we are will be reflected in what we do. Good works flow out of who we are. And they are much less, measured in definable activities, but rather in a life of service and of care and relationship. In describing us, people might actually say they have a heart for God. They're genuinely good people. They care for others and support others, rather than simply saying about us, oh, they do good things. It's about who we are. And I think good works that please God are those practices or those choices or those disciplines that we choose to participate in or to do that grow us closer to God, that grow our personal character and our holiness, that commit us to living in a unity and in harmony with other Christians, or with the world generally, that cause us to grow and care together with other people, with Christians, and that aid in the bringing of the gospel to unbelievers. Good works affect all of those. The life of the believer affects all of those things. I've come to the view that the good works Paul speaks of are nothing other than a committed, maturing and service-focused Christian life. Out of the heart flows the good works of a genuine Christian. And that slide there sort of puts good works lived out of the heart of the Christian life, not just a part of it. Just not little things we add to it. Our life isn't punctuated by good works. Our life is good works. From breakfast to dinner, from midnight to midnight. That's what we are. They are an expression of character, not just what we do. And I just want to go to a couple of passages of Scripture now, just to explain a little bit more. And I won't labour that, but I wanted to go to them. The first, there's another one before that first one I thought about. Good works. What is it? Good works in our life lead us to knowing God. A Christian life that leads us to knowing God better. Part of us as a Christian is to know God better. And those good works that are there. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What is it in our life? What are the things that we do in our life? Do we have that heart to know God more deeply, to follow him more completely? Are we committed to him? Jesus said in that prayer just before his crucifixion, the night before, he said, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. This is core to us as Christians. And the good works in our life, or the purpose in a Christian life is firstly, number one, to know God better. The second thing that in Ephesians 4, 1-3, it says, Paul tells us, live a life that's worthy of our calling. So we're called, what are we called to be? We're called to be sons and daughters of Christ. We're called to redemption. Live a life that's worthy of that. And then in verses 2 and 3, he gives a few examples of what might typify that. He says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient and bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is what he's talking about, is good works. They are the essence of our Christian life. God expects that there is a change in our lives after we become and receive salvation, and it's to be consistent with his character. We're not to just to sit around and just fill in time waiting to get to heaven, you know, twiddling our thumbs till we get there. No, God expects that we change, that there's something happens. Because something happens in our heart, something is to happen in our life. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I won't go too far into this because Ian's going to preach on this one in a few weeks' time. So I tell you, he says, and insist on that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. In fact, as I read this morning, I said, there are some things they shouldn't do which are good works. Getting rid of the old, that's a good work, to get rid of the old. To take off the old nature, that's a good work. And the other good work is to put on new stuff, put on the good stuff, the stuff that's the character of Christ. And he says, he goes a little bit later on in verse 21 of chapter 4, he says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. This is the other thing. People who are Christians, who have genuinely changed, have a desire to learn, to grow and mature. He said, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off the old self, that's a good word, putting off the old, putting off the bad, getting rid of it, cleaning it up. Because the new life we have in Christ is where we get the energies. Christ himself in us, we get the actual ability to do that. To be made new in the attitudes of our minds. To put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And drop down a bit to verse 29, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful, for building others up according to their needs. It's a good word, to build others up, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every other form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God forgave you. Actually, I'll go back a little bit because there's a paper I read this morning and it says, if anyone has been stealing, they must stop. They must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. Why? That they may have something to share with those in need. And this is about a work ethic. I guess we're called to a work ethic, so that we've actually got something to give. We have the means. That's one of the reasons we work, that we have the means to help others. I want to go to Philippians chapter 2. Again, as another example. Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. This is about living together, particularly in a Christian community, but it's more widespread, it's community generally, because it's where the witness of the Christian to the non-Christian is partly in how we live in community. Being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and of one mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And here's the real key. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. God, he is our example. We are redeemed by him. We're a masterpiece created by the Father through Jesus. And the other example I want to use too comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's in verse 18 that says, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. This is another good work for the Christian life, is to include this part. We're his ambassadors. We are to bring the message of salvation. However God might gift us, whether we're an evangelist, which not many of us are, but we still have the task of bringing the message of the gospel to those around us. Then the last point I want to go on to, that we should walk in them. Two versions render the text in a way I find even more informative than the others. And many of the commentators I read on this pick the same sort of thing up. The word that's used here is peripateo. So the translations that we've got it, that we might walk in them, or that they become our way of life. So if we look at that chart I put up first of all, it says that the two that I want to pick up were to be our way of life. The New Revised Standard Version puts it that way. And both the NIV, the ESV and the NASB put it, so that we would walk in them. Peripateo is the root word from which this idea comes. It means to walk or to make one's way or progress, to make use of opportunities, or to live or regulate one's life. As I said, the NRSV renders it as good works are to be our way of life. That's a little bit more than just doing good works, isn't it? To be our way of life, as I said before, you know, from midnight till midnight. That's to be our way of life. And as the ESV, render it so that we would walk in them. Both these renderings indicate that good works are to be more than things we add to our life, but rather they are the core of it. We are to live good works, not simply do them. They are to flow out of who we are and be typical and predictable characteristics of a Christian's life. It's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Since 2012 until about a year ago, I worked with a bloke, and some of you know who that is. I worked with a bloke who walked the walk as far as cattle breeding goes. He bred cattle a certain way, he ran cattle a certain way, he bred them away. Well, part of it was how he knew this is how he would make money, but it was also so that he would pick the ones that had the genetics to continue on. And when I say he was single-minded about it, I mean single-minded. And I got to work with him I've known him for probably close to 30, 40 years, but I actually got to work directly with him for about 10 or 12 years. And walking the walk is what he did. If a cow failed to produce, she went to the meatworks, not to the see you later next year paddock. It was next to the meatworks. She didn't have a calf. And in all that time, I think there was only three cows that got a second chance, because they'd already had 12 or 13 calves by the time they failed. And he couldn't cut the head off. So that's what we did. But he walked the walk. He knew where he wanted to go. He knew what was important. And he walked the walk. And this is, again, the same sort of thing with us as Christians. Do we walk the walk? Good works are the walk, not added to our life, our Christian life, but the very essence of our Christian life. So to conclude here on this last slide, what I've got is this is what good works produce or is focused to. In a Christian life, this is what the Christian life is focused to: knowing God and honouring Him. What are the things that we do? What are the practices, the choices we make that help us to know and to honour God? What are the things, the good works, the life that we live that pursues personal maturity and counsel of the Holy Spirit? What are the things that cause us, that we do, that cause us to live and to serve with other Christians in unity, in bearing with shortcomings and caring for their spiritual and physical welfare? It's the good works of the Christian that make that happen. And he sees his life. And it comes from Christ himself. And finally, recognising that we are God's Christ ambassadors, we look to how we individually can bring the message of salvation to unbelievers. These are the good works that typify the life of the Christian. They are the Christian life. And I keep saying this, they are not things we add to the Christian life. They are the Christian life. Let's pray. Father, may your word grab us and take hold of us. May we, as your masterpieces, the workmanship of your hands, truly live a life of good works that produce these results in us that we've talked about. We don't just simply look to do stuff because we're supposed to, but because that's who we are. We are redeemed. We are transformed by the blood of Jesus, by the indwelling Spirit of God. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.